I am indebted greatly to many people out there. Nancy, Justice in Pennsylvania, in Erie, Pennsylvania, thank you for all the comments you put out there and your support for the messages. Thank you so much. It does my heart good when I see my students writing comments on the messages and appreciating and saying what it meant to them. Thank you so much for all of you. I'm indebted greatly to my teachers, and one of my teachers, especially Dieter Wolfbergstrasser. He was my initial Greek and Hebrew teacher and Greek and Hebrew grammar, beginning grammar. And he also taught me church history, which absolutely opened my mind to things that I don't think any other teacher could have brought. He lived in Germany. He grew up in Germany. And he was not a Baptist by birth. He was a Lutheran by birth. And he just passed away recently. And I have all of his theses that he wrote when he was at CMBI, where I went to school also. This book is called The Ecclesia versus Christendom, and that's the title of this message, The Ecclesia versus Christendom. And on page 43 is where I'm going to quote from today, and then a lot of notes that I've written in there from other books that I have written. Dr. Carl E. Dr. Carl Farrar was my God's Eternal Purpose and my Advanced Theology teacher. And he used this book in his classes as he taught, especially on the Kingdom Parables. Brother Bergstrasser wrote his Dr. Theses on this very place where we are. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, and of course in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We're in Luke. We're teaching Luke from the Greek language, Greek reading and research by induction. I don't want to harm you with deep grammar or anything. Now and then I'll say something about it, but I want you to learn what the original scriptures say. Of course, that's the inspired Word of God. And also to delve deeply into what is there. Luke 13 and verse 18 begins, Elegein un tine homia esten, he basilia tu theu, kai tina homioso aute. The Ecclesia versus Christian. And he kept on saying there, or where, what like. Therefore, what is like the kingdom of God? And what shall I liken her to? The kingdom of God. Verse number 19. Homioi esten koko synepios hon labon anthropos ek balein eis kepon yaton kai eix ethen kai agenato eis dendron kai ta petena tu uranu kates kenosen entois plaidois autu. It is like a single grain of mustard, which, having taken a certain man, he cast it into the garden of him. And it grew up and became into a tree. Unto a tree. That word ace there, preposition, page 119. Extension and limitation of thought or verbal action. All the way up to and beyond a tree. A gigantic tree. A great tree. A majestic tree. But this majestic tree is not good. And the birds of the heaven, each and every one of them singularly lodged in the branches of it, of that evil one. This mustard seed is another type of leaven or sin. Sinful activities, These same birds that are lodging in the monstrosity are the dirty birds that ate up the seed in the parable of the sower. There is a fine line of Christianity that has come down through the ages, but there is a monstrosity out there called Christendom, wherein dwell all of heretical teachers and the cults and the near cults. Christ founded his ecclesia or church or assembly, and Satan founded the monstrosity wherein dwells many shades and forms of evil, from milder forms of heresy to absolute cults. Whether one, it is Protestant system that is tried to clean up Rome and the dogmas of Rome for the Catholic Church, or the cults and near cults lodging in the monstrosity called Christendom. That fine line of Christianity, if you can look at this map behind me, Ecclesia versus Christendom, here's the fine line. These are the ones who are dying. Between 50 and 100 million people die down through the ages for defending the Bible and the Word of God. And here we have the monstrosity as it evolved. The monstrosity as it evolved. Now, let me read to you from the Amplified Bible these two verses quickly. 13, 18, and 19. And this led him to say, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and planted in his own garden. And it grew and became a tree." A monstrosity. A plant is not a tree. "And the wild birds found shelter and roosted and nested in its branches." Now, quite a few expositors over the history and the time past have likened this mustard tree to the gospel and to the churches. But it's not good. It's evil. G.H. Lang wrote on page 89 in his All the Parables, or the Parables of the Bible, "The parables depicted phases which would arise in the movement to assert the kingly rights of God. Truly, it is the members of the church who assert those rights and affect that movement. But a chief lesson of the parables is that the activities of the enemy to counteract the foundation of God's church and that movement, and to do so by corrupting, imitating its inner spirit and outer form." He wrote again, "The kingdom of God and heaven is that realm of existence in which the authority of God is owned, and the holiness and the happiness of heaven are enjoyed." And that one was on page 110. Dieter Bergstrasser wrote, "In particular, the parable of leaven depicts phases which would arise in religious movements trying to reverse and pervert the kingly rights of God. Chiefly, they are the activity of the enemy in his work to corrupt the ways of God." And then on page 43, he begins to delineate those ways in which the false churches began to pervert and muddy the waters, and to corrupt the Word of God and the teaching, the plain teaching of God's Word. Church salvation came into effect. Church salvation came into effect. Number two, baptismal regeneration was propagated. And as we see all of that, then we go back and Baptismal regeneration starts over in 200, at the late 200s, not 260, 270. Infant baptism was started by law. Constantine married the church to the state. Mariolatry was began in 500. The first pope was established in the late 500s. Infant baptism was established by law in 500. 600 A.D., indulgences were invented. 700 A.D., the doctrine of purgatory is invented. In the 800 A.D., Satan and image worship began, 787. Transubstantiation is started in 1100. Celibacy is invented in 1123 A.D. Auricular confession is begun in 1215 and the Inquisition in 1231. Now let's go back and look at what Brother Birkstrasser writes here in his doctor's thesis. Transubstantiation of the elements of the Lord's Supper to sustain salvation became a cardinal doctrine. Transubstantiation. You have to believe that the wafer is the body and the wine is the blood of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastical rulership and religious hierarchy became a fact. 325 A.D. Constantine the Great. The Holy Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Church. The supremacy of the papacy was instituted, of course, Pope Leo II, officially established a pope. But actually, if you go all the way back to Constantine, and the pope, supposedly, according to the dogma of the Catholic Church, the pope is an apostle of God, able to receive continual revelation to him. The first apostle of God in the Catholic Church was Constantine. He was considered the apostle of God. As you see all of these doctrines and dogmas coming here, we find in 570 A.D. we have Muhammad born, supposedly in Mecca. More likely, according to history, he was probably born someplace around Petra. Mecca, the description in the Quran, is not even Mecca of today at all. It's more like Palestine. By 710 A.D., or 610 A.D., that is, he was born in 570. By 610 A.D., he was supposed to start receiving his visions. But his visions basically are regurgitated Catholicism, with the doctrines completely contrary to the Word of God, with Gnosticism laced into it and many other heresies. The supremacy of the papacy was instituted, and Muhammad said he is the Holy One of God, the Apostle of God, that is receiving the final revelation. And of course, the revelations in Catholicism are continual to the popes. The Godhead is corrupted, and Mary is added to the Godhead. In practice, is the head of the Godhead, Mary. You pray to Mary, you don't pray to the Father, you don't say to Jesus. You pray to Mary. Mary, Mother of God. That's how they do it. Mary, Mother of God. The atonement, the salvation, is obtained through the sacraments. The second sacraments are vehicles of grace. The Catholic stand on the apocryphal tradition is more important, and the Word of God is to none effect. These false doctrines are the result of the mixture of leaven and meal, the monstrosity that became the mustard tree. The monstrosity of Christendom versus the Ecclesia. The marriage of pagan idolatry and the two doctrines of the Word of God, and generally it can be observed that most false doctrines have some kernel of truth in them down there someplace they're taken off with. The sovereignty of the saints became an established doctrine. The sovereignty of the saints became an established doctrine. Because of the hideous nature of the worship of saints, these are special people like Paul and Peter and so on and so forth, that they had so much good works that they have enough left over that you can buy them or inherit them. The hideous nature of the worship of saints. A brief history is given in order to exemplify the effect of the lemon permeating Christendom. This practice was brought into the religious limelight over the iconoclastic controversy which raged for many centuries. Right here, 900. The iconoclastic, 869 A.D. was the iconoclastic controversy where the Greek Orthodox would not have statues or images of the saints or Jesus. And the Catholic Church had images. That's what you call the that is what we call the iconoclastic controversy, 869 A.D., and we have Greek Catholic and the Roman Catholic Church splitting. The Bible is completely forbidden in 1229 A.D. in Roman Catholicism. The Bible is completely forbidden in 1229 A.D. Now, in Baptists, the Bible is our full view, our full evidence of faith and practice. 1320, Chi Pauline Epain Tina Homioso Tain Vasilia Tu Theou. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, the family of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. All of these terms. Now let's look at verse number 21. Homioi estin zime hein labusa gene en ekrepsin es aluru sota tria eos hu ezu mote holon. It is like leaven, zime, leaven, which having taken a woman. Now, another thing in the Bible, a woman is always evil, so to speak. Women that are listening, it's not talking about you, but women in general, in the Bible, when it talks about a woman in the Bible, a woman, that woman Jezebel, that great harlot of Revelation, that woman, that great harlot of Revelation, the bride of the Antichrist. We see women as evil, or evil influence. Which having taken a woman, she hid in flour meal, measures 3, until of whom it was leavened all. A little lie is still a lie, isn't it? A little lie is still a lie. A little perversity. Revelation, the 19th chapter, talk about the end of Christendom. And the beginning of the rule of our Savior and Lord and King, Jesus Christ, at this end of this period of time, the tribulation period. Tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God. Now, the cross references this in Matthew 13, 33 and Luke 20 through 21. I hope you enjoyed this message. Are you out there caught up in the cesspool of religion? That monstrosity, that mustard tree, that leaven was put into that loaf of bread until it was all leaven. I got news for you. God did leave some of his true churches in this world. He said in Matthew 16:18, you are Peter, but upon this gigantic rock, me, not Peter, stone, I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. Matthew 28:19-20 says, as you are gone and cast into the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to guard with their lives all that I've given to you. Lo, I'll be with you until the end of the world.
And that didn't mean over here to the dark ages. It meant to the end of the whole church age right there. Right there. Ecclesia versus Christendom would be a battle. A battle. A battle for the faith. And it would be so foggy out there. I used to go out in the ocean with a boat. And some of the locals would even follow me out there, wouldn't they, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. They were afraid to go out. You couldn't see any. You couldn't see beyond the point of the boat, the bow of the boat. You couldn't see out there. And I would be listening to the sounds, and I knew where to go. And I'd get out there, and then I had a GPS system on there, and I didn't know how to use it to go where, but I could follow myself back with the little tracks. Because it was too foggy to see where you're going. Out there in the Christendom, out there in that great monstrosity, out there in that leavened bread, is a lot of fog. But the Word of God can give you that pathway to serving Him in the righteous way that He wants you to do it. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to all those out there today, Ecclesia versus Christendom. You know that You said You'd be with Your church until the end of the age, and we believe in that promise. But there's so many churches that are rising and falling with every shade of Christendom that you can think of, to almost truth, to complete cults and isms and heresies. Father, I pray that You use this message to glorify You and to bring those into Your fold that are lost and come to know You. And those that are Yours, that You will put them to work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.